Good morning. You are tuned into the KRFY morning show on what is so far a beautiful Thursday, June 25th, here in North Idaho. We have a couple of special guests in the studio. We've got two representatives of the Lions Club, the president and the vice president. Dave Bannister and Judy Dabrowski are here in studio with us this morning to talk about the upcoming 4th of July festivities and what else the Lions Club is up to in town. But first, let's discuss.
Are you going to introduce me?
And it's Hello. Jack and Jim in the Tiki Room this morning, as usual on Thursdays. Jim is across from me. I'm Jack. And, well, starting things off, before we talk to Dave and Judy, let's talk a little bit about the weather.
Oh, please do.
It's currently 64 degrees Fahrenheit in Sandpoint, getting up to 85 degrees today. Mostly sunny and pretty clear this evening. Calm wind of 5 to 8 miles an hour in the afternoon. Tomorrow it begins.
What begins,
the,
Jack?
The thing everybody's been talking about for, it seems like, about a week. High near 92 tomorrow. Pretty sunny. Again, calm at winds of about 6 miles an hour. Clear again on Friday night. Saturday it's going to hit. sunny and hot with a high near 97 on
triple
Saturday.
Triple digits.
Yeah.
Getting close.
Close on Saturday, and then on Sunday, highs of 100 degrees or more on Sunday. So a couple of hot days coming up on Saturday and Sunday for sure. Friday's not going to be real cool. And then Monday, again, in the high 90s, but there's a chance of thunderstorms coming up starting on Sunday night or Monday. And then, as far as we can tell, the forecast for next week is more of, not quite the same, but highs in the low 90s.
Low 90s, you know? Yes. You know, in other words, those of you out there in the listening world of 88.5 KRFY, pay close attention to your vegetable gardens, pay close attention to your pets. Yeah, that's very important. And don't leave anything or anyone in a car, whether it be your elderly grandparent or a young child or a pet. I'm always somewhat surprised when I read in the newspaper that someone has died in a car that's been. And so these are especially times we need to be thoughtful and mindful of what we are doing. Nothing like hot weather, at least for me, that sort of makes me mush up my mind. So you have to be extra on guard.
Yeah, it does. It does slow you down a little bit. The thoughts come a little slower in the hot weather, as everything else moves a little slower, too.
And speaking of hot weather, let's hope that it's not baking on the 4th of July, because that's why we have Dave and Judy in the studio with us. They're both from the Sandpoint Lions Club to talk about the upcoming 4th of July celebration. And who would like to start?
Independence Day's coming.
You bet. It is around the corner. Let's hope the hot weather has sort of passed.
It would be nice if we had a nice 85-degree day in on the 4th. That would be perfect.
Wouldn't that be great? Okay, let's dial it in.
It's not, not out of the question.
Jack, dial it in. Okay.
All right. I'll give him a call. We'll see.
So tell me about some of the events, where we're at in the planning stage, and what's going to happen between now and the 4th. I'm going to turn to the new president, Dave Bannister.
We're running around like chickens with our heads cut off right now, trying to get as many raffle tickets sold as we can to help pay for this event. This year we've got a new third prize. We're not only giving away the Gator as a first prize, and second prize is $2,000 in Bonner County money. That basically means you get a $2,000 prize, but you have to keep it here in the county.
Oh, smart.
Our third prize is two season tickets to Schweitzer for the 2015 and 16 ski season. One of them was donated by Schweitzer. And our fourth prize is $1,000 cash. where you can spend anywhere.
Yeah. I was going to say, not a Bonner County restriction on it. Okay, excellent. So tell us about you're running around with your heads cut off. What needs to be done between now and the 4th?
Well, every day we have the Gator, and it's at a different location selling tickets for the raffle. We're getting ready to... We're past the planning stages for the child's parade and the regular parade. We need more applications for the regular parade. There's still $30.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt. I was just going to ask that you mentioned the Gator. Yeah, that's one of those little four-wheel drive deals. Sort of an ATV with seats for more than one.
Yes.
That's the idea.
It's neat.
Yeah.
The Gator is a John Deere, and it's from Pepe.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a dump bed on it. It's kind of a farm vehicle. It's very cute.
I can think of a few people who'd be very interested in the Gator.
How does one find the location of where the Gator and the raffle tickets will be? You said that it's like, where is it today?
Today it's at Super One.
Okay. So go to Super One and one can find... a little table set up, I'm guessing, with the Gator there.
Look for the Gator.
Uh-huh. And a big red wheel to spin. So if you buy a book of tickets for $20, you get to spin, and there's a chance you'll win a free book of tickets. Ooh. We live wow. dangerously in the Lions Club a little.
Okay, so it's at Super One today, and I take it it's throughout the city and North Idaho.
If you want a list, it's at Super One today. Tomorrow it will be at Yolks. Saturday, it's going to be at Walmart. Sunday afternoon, I believe we're going to be set up at North 40. Monday again at North 40. Tuesday at the co-op. And then we're back to Wednesday where we're at Walmart.
And I hope that all of this is done underneath an awning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with the days, nothing would be worse than to be sitting next to a table baking.
We want to make sure that anybody who buys a book of tickets while they're filling them out is comfortable.
Right.
Okay, so you want more participation, more floats, more whatever for the 4th of July parade, more groups participating. How does one go about signing up, and what's the theme of this year's parade, that sort of thing?
Heroes.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, it doesn't. Heroes can be anybody. Whoever your hero is going to be celebrated on Independence Day.
Okay, so it could be someone in the military. It could be someone in your family. It could be somebody with whom you're in contact with.
It could be policemen, firefighters.
Absolutely.
Forest rangers.
So that's the theme. Now, how does one, let's say, get a place in the parade?
If you... contact June Dull, who is our person who's in charge of our parade, and her phone number is 263-4019. Or you can email us at sampointlions@gmail.com, and we will get an application out to you to fill out. And right now they're $25 before the 2nd. If you get your application in before the 2nd of July, it's $25. After the 2nd, it goes up to $30. So we would like people to get in early so we can start planning on how many people we're going to have in the parade. We'd love to have everyone in, businesses, groups, whoever's out there that wants to come out and show off their
heroes.
Yes, they're heroes for the 4th of July. We'd love to have you, and we'd like everyone to participate. And we love having all the people watch the parade. It's always fun to see everybody in town enjoying our 4th of July celebration.
So, Judy, one more time, June Dull's phone number and contact information. If you're interested in joining the parade, whether you be an organization or a group of people, and pick out your heroes. There are heroes walking up and down our streets that need to be recognized. What would be the phone number?
263-4019.
Okay, excellent. Now, can you run down the day for me? You mentioned a children's parade.
We have a children's parade that starts at 9. That's That's Judy's. Nobody touches Judy's children's parade.
Okay.
And then we have the big parade, starts at 10 o'clock. I might add that this year, the Lions Club heroes are the students at Sandpoint High School. They're our grand marshals. We think that there's going to be a lot of the high school kids are going to be participating in the parade. They're making their own floats.
Who doesn't love a parade?
This is going to be great. This is going to be really, really neat. But the kids at Sandpoint High School have done an unbelievable job of collecting money for charities. Last year, they collected $10,600 in Moose Madness that was given to us for Toys for Tots. Over the years, they've given what, $20,000?
Yeah, and about the last 5 years, they've done over $20,000 for Toys for Tots.
These kids are unbelievable.
And they also have done, last year alone, the high school logged over 6,000 hours of community service.
That is impressive. So no wonder that you selected them as the grand marshal and leading off, kicking off the parade.
Yes, this is one of the best things we've ever done.
Cool. Now, Judy, tell me a little bit more about the children's parade that begins at 9 o'clock. Where do the children gather?
We would like everyone to be there at least 15 minutes before the parade, because it's really hard to start them when they get there at exactly 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Where do they need to get?
At the city parking lot, which is the corner of Church and Third. And it is always a really fun time to see the kids. They decorate their bikes and their wagons, and they dress up, and they get to walk around through it's about three quarters of the parade route that they do. And generally, everyone is there to watch them, and there's cheering and shouting, and everyone who participates in the parade gets a prize.
Wonderful. Now, let's say if I have a child who's 3 or 4 years old and would like to, can I walk with the child? Can parents walk with the child?
Yes.
So parents can also, you know, sort of like keep an eye and as they march down through the street. How many children do you imagine in years past have participated?
Somewhere around 100.
Oh, good Lord. Can you imagine, you know, trying to keep track of 100 children in a parade?
You're doing good work. I'd say that, and emphasis on work there.
Do you have good dogs that sort of like, you know, those sheep dogs or whatever that sort of like keep the kids clustered together? Because I can see kids, you know, walking along the side. You know, oh, there's grandma. Let's go over and get a hug from grandma. Oops, we just lost one kid.
Yeah,
you know, that sort of thing.
I think I'd get about. You'd get about 10% of the way through the parade route, and then it would kind of explode.
Amazingly, it works, and the kids are kids are very good about it. We do have a few hugs going on the side of the street, but we have one person who walks behind the parade and just kind of sweeps everybody along. And every year it works. We haven't lost anybody yet.
Uh-huh.
What
a shepherd.
Fun. What fun. So does one need to contact someone before ahead of time with the children's parade?
Not at all. This is a show up and you get to play.
Wonderful. So again, show up on, isn't the 4th on a Saturday this
year?
It
is. Yeah.
Let's say about 8:45. Let's say 8:30 to 8:45 would be a good show-up time.
That would be perfect.
Okay. And one more time, where do people show up with their children in decorated bikes or wagons or even a pet on a leash?
That the city parking lot, corner of Church and Third.
Okay. You know, that's across from the old Merwins and Howells and in that area.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. And then what about the big parade, the other parade? Where does that all, when one calls June, does one get the information about where to, you know, the order of, how does one arrange the order of the parade? I've wondered about that.
Well, June will send them out an application to fill out, and then we will have a table set up to pick up your number at the parking lot over at 5th and Church. You won't be able to miss it. It'll have a big Lions Club tent there. You'll pick up your number, and you can move on, get your float set up, either on Church or Oak. And at 10 o'clock, we'll start the parade. And it'll last for a long time, at least an hour, 2 hours. It'll go all the way around town.
Okay.
It'll end back at Oak Street. So it behooves us to make sure we get all the floats off of Oak Street before the parade, before the first part of the parade
meets the back end of the parade.
End of the parade.
So do the is the first act, the first float, is that the high school, the graduating class, or is that who goes
started
first?
Off of the military.
Okay.
And the color guard. And then we get the fire department and the police department through there so that they have their emergency vehicles are available in case something happens, in the case they're needed. So we get them in and out. And then the Grand Marshal.
Mm-hmm.
It's their parade.
That's cool. And then after that, just everybody else. Cool. Is there a shepherd at the back of this parade as well? Someone picking up the floats that
might. Well, if there's horses.
Horses are kind of in the middle. We just kind of tell everybody, follow the leader.
I've often thought with a parade, though, the logistics, like when I watch the parades on New Year's Day and whatever from Pasadena, just getting everybody in line and in order. Okay, it's your turn. It's your turn. Is it easy, Dave?
We don't. The numbers that are given is for the announcer, not necessarily. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is the order that you're going to be in. Number one could be the 30th float. But the announcers, they come down and they've got number one on their float, can look at his schedule.
Okay, and see who number one is.
See who number one is, and then the judges are out there judging the floats to see who's got the best in each category, and there are certificates and prizes for them.
Okay, so, and that starts at 10 o'clock, will probably run about noon.
Yes.
What's the rest of the day going to unfold like for?
Everybody then can go down to City Beach and set up your picnic, go swimming. It'll be nice and warm to go in. The water's warm. Spend the day down
this
there.
This is Lake Pendere. Is the water ever warm?
Well, warmer than December.
There right. you go. You, good point. Good point.
We're going to have kids' games at 2. We're going to have music that starts at
3.
And the music will go all the way to when we have the fireworks at sundown.
Wow, that's a full day. But what's nice, it's in a nice geographic area. One doesn't have to go too far. It sounds like a great day for a family, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a wonderful day for a family. There's plenty of room. There's plenty of grass to sit on. The guys over in the parks, they do an unbelievable job getting the place clean up.
Absolutely.
The park is in just pristine condition when they get there. And actually, everybody's pretty good about picking up their trash and making sure that it's thrown away.
And there's lots of shade, too, which is very important for someone like me with a little protection on top.
But you still might bring an umbrella because the shade goes fast.
and it moves, doesn't it?
Yes.
It moves. We're here with Dave Bannister and Judy Dabrowski. Dave is the new president, and Judy is the new vice president of the Sandpoint Lions Club. And we're going to take a break now here on 88.5 KRFY. Regroup. Like most people, I would wager I know very little about the Lions Club, and I'd like to learn more. So we'll do that. I think we have queued up. What do we have queued up, Jack?
It's a song by James Taylor called On the 4th of July from his... October Road, which is sort of a later career, James Taylor.
Yes, it is. Yeah. But here's a song celebrating On the 4th of July, and then we'll come back to Dave and Judy and talk more.
The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show.
On the 4th of July, that's James Taylor from his October Road CD. You're here with Jack and Jim on the KRFY Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. And in the studio with us, we have Dave Bannister and Judy Dabrowski from the Sandpoint Lions Club. And they are hosting an entire day, Saturday, July 4th, of activities. And we're going to pick up midday after the parade and what's happening at the City Beach and the rest of the activities.
Starting on at about 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, we start with the kids games, which we started back doing again about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. The Lions Club, when I grew up in Sandpoint, always had kids games going on where you could go and they were foot races and stuff like that. And if you were really good, you could win a buck. So
and a dollar goes a lot. I still like a dollar, you know?
So now our kids' games are a little bit different. Everybody gets a prize at every game, and we have about 12 games set up for the kids to rotate through and be able to play and get prizes at every game. When we're done with them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we give them ice cream.
I noticed that on your, you know, I was going to say, get to the ice cream, and then face painting.
Yes, and then,
I mean, is that fun?
Creations, a local charity that set up for the kids down on the Cedar Street Bridge, where they have a place where the kids can play. Their staff is going to come down and do our face painting this year. So at 4 o'clock, the kids can, after they're done with their ice cream and their games, they can go and have some kind of 4th of July something painted on their face, which is wonderful. And then at 3 o'clock, Fiddle and Red will start playing, and he's a local musician and absolutely fabulous. So I hope everybody comes down and enjoys listening to him. And at 6 o'clock, Frank Moore and his band will be playing, and they're going to be playing right up until the fireworks at dusk. And the thing that I want everybody to remember is come down, enjoy, have fun. It's all free. Everything that we're doing at the beach, there's no charge to anyone for anything.
Wow. It's all free. I was just going to say, it sounds like a lot of fun, but it sounds expensive. How can, it's no cost to any participants except for the float, of course.
The float, well, if you're going to have a float in the parade, you still have to pay your $25 to have the float in the parade, but everything else for the whole day is absolutely free. Keep in mind, we have to pay for this some way, and the way that we pay for it is selling tickets on our four-wheeler. So when you see us out at Yokes,
Super One today,
Super One, Walmart, North 40, Co-op, come over and buy some tickets from us, because that's how we pay for this day of celebration in Sandpoint.
And it's a day of celebration of as when we were listening to the James Taylor song, Judy was talking about her parents, her uncles, her grandparents gathering together to watch the parade. It's a great time for the entire family to come together and to celebrate the joys of this year's theme, Heroes, as well as the joys of living in North Idaho.
Got to come out and love those logging trucks.
Well, you know, it's what a wonderful day that you can leave your house in the morning and have it planned and it's all taken care of. I guess I'm focusing in on the ice cream and face painting. Does one have to be a kid to get ice cream? Can adult get ice cream?
I got to tell you, sometimes if we have a little left over, an adult may sneak in.
Cool.
So you have to act like a kid.
That's not hard for some of us. Let's go to a... Yes, Jack, you are going to raise a question.
I am. You like the ice cream and face paint. I can't think about anything but the fireworks at the end of the night.
Yes.
Which is always a good time. Fireworks over the lake is...
the reflection off the water.
It's like two shows for the price of one, which is... Again, free to the community.
This year, we will have a bigger fireworks show than we've ever had before. last year's was a little disappointing, but we've gotten together with the fireworks company, and we're getting a lot more fireworks this year. I talked to Jason. He's the guy that will be setting the fireworks off on the 4th.
Where will they be set off from?
Over on the peninsula, over by
Windbag Marina.
Windbag Marina.
Ah, cool. On one of the jetties or something like that? Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And we just asked that people not walk on the jetty that day because starting on the 3rd, Jason will be out there setting up everything for the fireworks show. And early in the morning on the 4th, he'll be putting the fireworks in his little boxes for the shoot.
Last year there was some kind of, there was a tragedy before the fireworks or something, right? That kind of maybe put a kink in things.
Well, there was the company that supplies our fireworks. They had an accident in their plant in Olympia, and one of their trucks blew up with a couple of their employees in it.
Owie.
And one of them died. And that was just before the 4th. So hopefully this year we won't have any accidents.
No. Yeah. Well, safety first, as I say.
This is a really big company that does this. And in fact, they do it for most of the towns around here.
So this will be around dusk on the 4th.
Around dusk. Listen for the Star Spangled Banner. As soon as it's done, the fireworks start.
Excellent, excellent. Let's talk about the Sandpoint Lions Club. I'm probably one of many people in the community here who know very little about. I see it in the newspaper, Sandpoint Lions Club. I go, oh, neat. What are they, dealing with lions? So can either you, Dave, or you, Judy, inform me, educate me a little bit about the Lions Club and its mission, what it does?
The Lions Club is the biggest community-based organization in the world. We literally have Lions Clubs in almost every country in the world, in almost every city in the United States. If they aren't in every town, then there may be three or four towns like Sandpoint Lions Club would include Laclede and Dover and Pondere and
Hope.
Mm-hmm. All of the little smaller towns, they're all kind of, we all just kind of grouped together in one. Priest River's got their own.
Besides the 4th of July celebrations, what are some of the other key events that the Lions Club puts on during the year?
This is our hardest one, but our biggest one comes at Christmas time when we do Toys for Tots. And that basically, we have one of our members only gets 2 weeks off a year for Toys for Tots, from December 22nd until the 1st of the year, and then he's back buying toys again.
Wow.
So he makes arrangements with a lot of the stores to buy the toys that we need for the following year. And then, of course, we have our fundraiser in December. We will be taking – we will kind of go on the down low after the 4th of July for about 3 weeks. And then we start gearing up in August, and it's going to take us all the way through December to get it all done. Right now, the bids are going out to the supermarkets for the food that we're going to need for the food boxes for anybody that needs one. Hmm. We'll probably give away 450 of those. We'll supply toys for at least, but somewhere between 900 and 1,000 children from the Sandpoint School District. It's really a big thing, and it's really neat. This is a lot of fun, actually. It's a lot more fun for us to put forth than it is for the 4th of July, because the 4th of July is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And it's an entire day-long event, the 4th of July thing. Can we count on the Lions Club coming back on the air with us for Toys for Tots and talk about that? We'll count on hearing from you, and we'll book you in for an interview.
Yeah, that sounds great. I was good. So you guys have the two main events are the Toys for Tots and the 4th of July. Is it common for other Lions Clubs to run the 4th of July festivities in a town?
No, not really. It's I belonged to another club in California when we lived there, and our big thing was on Labor Day. We had another big parade and a 3-day event. we actually owned a ghost town, and it was actually empty for all but 3 days a year. And it was just a big party for 3 days.
So other than those two big events, the Lions Club does a lot of other things in the area. We also are in charge of we will help people get hearing aids. If they can't afford them, if they come to us, then we're happy to help them get their hearing tests and see if we can't help pay for the hearing aids. We also do eyeglasses. So if, you know, you're out there and you can't afford a pair of eyeglasses, if you come to the Lions Club, we will see about helping you get that taken care of. This year, for the second time, we had the Lions Club has a large truck. I keep calling it a van, but it's actually a semi-truck that's set up to check hearing and eyesight. And we had the truck at all of the public elementary schools in our school district, and we checked every elementary school child's hearing and eyesight in 4 days, 1,600 kids in 4 days. And, you know, we found some that needed eyeglasses and some that, you know, had hearing problems, which is great. And we did that as a service to the community. It didn't cost anything for the school district or the kids. And, you know, that's something that the Lions is very big in, is hearing and sight.
If one is interested in contacting the Lions Club, is there a website?
Yes, there is. You can go to, and it's a little complicated because we're not webmasters. So we set it up through the National Lions Club. And if you Google Sandpoint Lions Club, you will, you know, get the little pop-up that has all the stuff about Sandpoint Lions. One of those sites will say eClub under it. And if you click on Sandpoint Lions eClub, that will bring you to a website that has all of our stuff on it.
Excellent, excellent. We're here with Dave Bannister and Judy Dabrowski from the Lions Club, Sandpoint Lions Club, and we've been talking about mainly about the 4th of July parade and ongoing celebration throughout the day. So one more time, Judy, the phone number to call if you're an organization or a group of people who'd like to have a place in the parade that begins at 10 o'clock on that Saturday. The number to call is
June Dull, and her number is 263-4019.
And that's just part of the festivities. Then it moves after the parade, which is about a two-hour event, down to City Beach, and there are kids' games and ice cream and face painting and music and fireworks. What is there not to like?
Well, I think it's going to be a really fun party, so I hope everybody comes and joins us.
Thank you both very much for coming in. Is there anything that we have not mentioned that you would like to?
If you'd like to become a member or want to see what we're all about.
Okay, absolutely.
We meet on the second and fourth Monday of every month.
Second and fourth Monday.
At 6 o'clock in the evening.
7 o'clock in the
evening. 7 o'clock in the evening.
Second and fourth. So you've already used up June's already.
Well, right now, because of the 4th of July, we're meeting every week.
Okay.
But after the 4th, it'll be the 13th and then again on the 27th.
Wow.
It's 7 o'clock at night.
And where do you meet at?
We're over at Lakeview Park, right next to the caboose, which is just kitty corner from the museum.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Got plenty of parking. Come on in. See what we're all about. We need new ideas. If we had more members, we could do more for the community.
Excellent.
Yeah. It would be hard to ask you guys to do more for the community.
Yeah, because the 4th of July and the Toys for Tots are two events that are just
the major. Eyeglasses. Yeah. Huge.
One of the things that we hear all the time is, why don't we do the beach barbecue anymore? They're not new to the area. You don't realize that in 1953, when the Lions first formed, they took over as a project helping to do the beach. And they did a lot of the buildings and stuff at the beach and the tennis courts and some stuff like that. To pay for that, they did a big barbecue at the beach. And so it was always a big party. It was one of the biggest parties of the year in Sandpoint. And everybody who was around then really misses it. But when you have a membership of 24, we're about maxed out. So if you want the beach barbecue back, we need more members.
I see.
Okay. Well,
is there anything other than buying a raffle ticket? Is there any way that people listening right now can help you out, get ready for the 4th of July in the upcoming weeks? Or
we need a lot of volunteers to help with the kids' games.
Uh-huh.
If anybody would like to volunteer for the kids' games, they could call me at 290-5314.
And the me is Judy Dabrowski. Judy, I want to thank you and Dave for coming in and
you're welcome.
Starting your day with us, and we wish you best of luck with the 4th of July. It sounds like it'll be a great day.
Thank you.
And what we're going to do as Judy and Dave exit out, we're going to play the number one song on June 25th in 1965, 50 years ago today. It's a song that The Byrds, Mr. Tambourine Man, it's a Bob Dylan song. And it appears on Bob Dylan's Bringing It All Back Home that was released earlier that year in 1965 in March. But the Byrds kicked off a whole new genre of music called folk rock. Uh-huh. And interesting, the Dylan song has four stanzas, but the Byrds only do one stanza. So here, are we going to play it?
Yeah, I've got it all queued up.
Okay.
This would have been an early Bob Dylan number one hit.
Yes, it's an early Bob Dylan number one hit, and it was on Bringing It On Back Home. That was half acoustic, half electric.
Yeah.
And this is Roger McGuinn's group. Previously, he had been known as Jim McGuinn and appeared on a lot of folk albums. But here he is with the Byrds and Mr. Tambourine Man 50 years ago today.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
That is The Byrds with Mr. Tambourine Man, a cover of Bob Dylan's song that was number one in June 1965, June 25th. And
I was just looking at the information about that song. It is the first Bob Dylan written song to hit number one on the charts. So a little bit of history there,
and it's an incredible how. That they say it's the jangly 12-string Rickenbacker guitar of Roger McGuinn, but it's hard to listen to those opening chords and not just drift back 50 years. Those of us who, as I look across at Jack, going, "Duh, what?" That song was so, and then of course it's been covered by Odetta and Judy Collins and a whole bunch of other people who've done incredible versions of it. But it's a beautiful song.
It is, yeah, it is. I think I like Dylan's version, his own version, the best. But which is kind of a little bit rare, not for me, but for a lot of people. They like people say that Bob Dylan is an excellent writer, and as a performer sometimes he gets you're in that boat.
I think he's a great performer.
The
later Dylan has all, you know, that sometimes he'll do like Blowing in the Wind and you don't recognize it. That he does a lot of different things with tempo, with phrasing, with arrangement. For me, Bob Dylan, remains through the Blood and the Tracks CD in terms of consistently each album having song after song after song. After that, but when you look at, my goodness, the volume of writing he has done over the years. Wow. This recent trip to South Bend, I took with me Bob Dylan albums from the 80s and 90s and listened to them, and I integrated them into our iTunes library, some selections. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy is prolific, and I think he performs over 200 venues a year. The guy is always, it's almost, but I think that the stage is the only place where he's safe. Mm-hmm. The stage is the only place where he doesn't have to answer questions. He doesn't have to deal with, a public that's giving him close scrutiny, that he just performs his music and exits. Because I would think of the legacy of Blowing in the Wind, Mr. Tambourine Man, song after song, Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, With God on Our Side, that to deal with the legacy of that and still be a human being must be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I imagine you're right. And people, I mean, he's famously sort of a conflicted, I mean, didn't care to carry that mantle of voice of a generation that everyone was trying to thrust upon him.
Everybody, you know, he had, he had a burst of creativity in those years, the early to mid 60s, that is, you can't account for it. When you look closely at Sad Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, when you look at Love is Just a Four-Letter Word, songs like that that are just rich, The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll. How did one, and the Beatles were the same way. In a mm-hmm. short period of time, the flame burned brightly.
Yeah.
And how do you can't account for that. And Dylan was that way. And how do you live with that?
And he's, the other thing is, like, people complain about Dylan nowadays, particularly as a performer, about the unrecognizable nature of the songs. And, you know, he doesn't necessarily just play the greatest hits. But if I was Bob Dylan, if I had that kind of creative mind, how could you just go up and play the same thing every night? I would have to, you know, if I had to play the same 12 songs every night, that would, you know, I don't think he could.
That's why Joni Mitchell stopped doing concerts. She said, I don't want to become a human jukebox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, everybody, hey, sing Blowing in the Wind. Well, I have to admit, how many times can the Stones do Can't Get No Satisfaction?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, before you run out of going, okay, we're done with that song. I think that Dylan has reinvented himself again and again to save his own sanity.
Mm-hmm. I would agree, and I think he's I wouldn't want to just play the same. If I had to only play Bob Dylan tunes, I think I would also throw some variety in there.
But on the other hand, as a listener, I can listen to the freewheeling Bob Dylan. I can listen to Times Are Changing Bob Dylan, another side of Bob Dylan over and over again, and I have for years. Let's talk, Jack, about some mm-hmm. events today. Today is one of my favorite events happening at the Pine Street Bakery, Yappy Hour.
Ah.
Mandy Evans just does a bang-up job. It's a tail-wagging good time. Bring your dog and enjoy a Panhandle Animal Shelter benefit with live music, beverages, and fun. And that starts at 4 today and goes to 7 at the Pine Street Bakery, 710 Pine Street. And if you want more information, call 265-7297. Jack, have you ever been to one of those events?
I have not. I don't have a dog.
I don't either, but what a fun time to get a dog fix and to see all these beautiful animals and the proud owners. And the Panhandle Animal Shelter, a great organization doing a bang-up job to the community.
Yes, indeed they are. And High Street Bakery, what a great venue for it, too. Sounds delicious. and I think they even make dog treats at Pine Street Bakery. I could be mistaken about that, but I think they do. I have a little container next to the cash register of homemade dog treats.
That's Yappy Hour, 4 to 7 today at the Pine Street Bakery. And you don't have to have a pet to go.
It is, let's see, coming up, the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce. It looks like they're doing their summer sampler is today, Thursday, June 25th, the Sandpoint Chamber's annual tasting event. Is gathering up this year the area's finest restaurants, breweries, and wineries in downtown Farman Park. This year's event is the perfect way to kick off the summer season, along with delicious bite-sized samples of gourmet cuisine. Enjoy a Lighthouse-sponsored cooking competition where local chefs battle for the win. That is tonight from 5 until 8 p.m. We had Kate and Kim in from the chamber
and
last
Kate
week
McAllister,
that.
Yeah. And yeah. That's a fun event.
Yes, it is.
It is just, well, it's also a great social event. You get to see lots of folks as well.
We've got three nights with three acts coming to the 219 Lounge. First up tonight is a comedy show featuring Justin Hayes and Morgan Preston starting at 8 p.m. right after either the Yappy Hour or the Summer Sampler, whichever you choose to do. After the cover for that will be donated to 24 Hours for Hank and Team Laughing Dog. After that, tomorrow, the Flying Mammals perform at 9 p.m. tomorrow night on Friday, June 26th. And rounding out the weekend is Sandpoint's own Maya Kohal Band starting at 5 p.m. on Saturday, June 27th. You can call 263-5673 for more information. But that the 219 Lounge, famously a dive bar in Sandpoint for years and years, has sort of reinvented itself as a fine venue. Their backyard is really...
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. But they've also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're one of the stops on POAC's Art Walk.
Is that right?
Yes, they are. So they have, you're absolutely correct, they've redefined themselves and are really becoming an interesting location in the community. Yay, 219.
Yeah. Coming up on, there is more events to hear about for Friday and for tonight as well. But coming up on Saturday, I want to be sure to mention the John Craigie concert coming to the Panada. John Craigie will actually be here in the studio tomorrow night on Friday at 8 o'clock. John Craigie live in the KRFY studios. You can tune in for that tomorrow night. And then on Saturday, playing at the Panada. Opening is the Holy Broke. And after that is John Craigie, half stand-up comedian, half folk singer. Craigie has traveled all over the nation and the world, having appeared many times with the Shook Twins. They have toured together before. But he's I've been playing some of his music lately on the local show. He's an excellent musician, and I'm sure we'll put on a good show Saturday at the Panada. Doors at 7 o'clock, I believe. Tickets are available at iCards, Eve's Leaves, and online at panada.org.
Speaking of the Panada Theater, last Tuesday, the Panada showed the documentary Add the Words.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a documentary with director Cami Pavicek was there. But this Saturday, on June 27th at 10 a.m. at the Sandpoint Library on Cedar Street, Adding the Words, Organizing Breakfast. Adding the Words was the documentary that dealt with Idaho legislatures who have not recognized the rights of transgendered LGBT people in their wording. So human rights acts of activists have began a civil disobedience campaign. So on this Saturday, activists involved in the events portrayed in the documentary film will share their personal experiences, educate, and answer attendee questions on how we can support the Add the Words movement here in North Idaho. Coffee, tea, and breakfast items will be provided. It's a free event. And donations are welcome, sponsored by the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. Saturday, June 27th at 10 a.m. at the Sandpoint Library on Cedar Street.
Well, there you go. Add the words.
Yes.
Now I know what it means.
Well, I have a wristband that says add the words.
Okay. That's at the library on Saturday.
10 a.m.
10 a.m. And it's I missed that. I missed that movie, and I was wondering what "add the words" means.
It's
now
an impressive movie. It's getting some recognition. It's been a selection at the Sun Valley Film Festival. Mm-hmm. It's trying to get a wider audience. It really is a moving statement about civil disobedience, about recognition of members of the community who have been ignored for a long time. Mm-hmm. The film is well done, and I encourage, if one gets a chance to see it, to avail oneself of the opportunity.
And we had the director here in town. Is it an Idaho production? Or
yes, it is from Coeur d'Alene. In fact, on July 2nd on the KRFY Morning Show, 1 week from today, we're going to have Cammie with us to talk about the film, the making of the film, and what's ahead for the film and the Add the Words campaign. On KRFY.
There you go. I'm looking forward to that. You can, tune in next Thursday, or else go to krfy.org. You can stream us live. Also on Saturday night, it was my pleasure yesterday to host Scott Kirby here in the studio.
And he, A great guy.
Yeah, he was very, very nice and quite a creative talent. He'll be playing a live piano music and a video presentation. He's a pianist, composer, and artist who specializes in American and Pan-American musical traditions that span 150 years. The concert begins at 7 p.m. and is held in the First Baptist Church at 1230 Michigan Street. This is right out on Division in Michigan, so across from the high school. All proceeds, this is important, all proceeds benefit the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint's Young Artist Exchange Program. So this is not only a great concert, but it all goes to a great cause as well.
It's a chance to see Scott again.
Right, yeah, he won't be back for a while. He performed at the Panada, and he's performing at the First Baptist Church, but I asked him, when he'll be performing in this area again, and it's not anytime soon. So you can get your tickets in advance at the MCS, the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, at POAC, the Pondere Arts Council, and at the door on the night of the concert, 265-4444. I am told that they do have air conditioning at the concert. So
excellent. Mm-hmm. On Saturday, we're getting close to the top of the hour. Pause for a Cause. Head to the Dover Bay Balto Dog Loop for the Pause for a Cause on Saturday event Poker Dog Walk, happening from 8 a.m. until noon in Dover. This poker dog walk, and I don't know what a poker dog walk is, is by donation and benefits the local community cancer center. And boy, do they do a bang-up job there. Sponsored by the Community Assistance League, you can get more information at 208-290-1546. That's Saturday, Pause for a Cause at the Dover Bay Balto Dog Loop.
And if you do have 7B license plates, this Sunday is Schweitzer's 7B Sunday, the grand opening of summer operations up at Schweitzer. And if you have 7B plates, I believe you get a free ride on the chairlift.
Time of year, it's beautiful. I know we have queued up another song that we can put in after Bird Note, but on this date in 1969, the Hollies recorded "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother" with Elton John playing the piano. And it dovetails with the Birds, because the Birds gave us David Crosby, and the Hollies gave us Graham Nash, and they became part of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
Well, there you go.
So that's going to be coming up after Bird Note. He Ain't Heavy. Sorry for the grammar. He's my brother.
And this is, when did you say this was?
On this date in 1969 with Elton John. This is before Elton John hit it big in about 1970, 71.
So there you go. Coming up, that's coming up right after Bird Note. You are listening to 88.5 KRFY. This has been The Morning Show. Every Tuesday and Thursday we do the KRFY Morning Show, and thank you for tuning in.
Who's coming up on Tuesday, Jack?
Next week, on Tuesday, June 30th, join Susie Prez and Chris Bessler. Their guest will be Steve Steve Holt and John Edwards.
Eureka Institute.
Yeah, who will be talking about the upcoming Summerfest Music Festival from the Eureka Institute. That's 8 a.m. on Tuesday at 88.5 KRFY, Panhandle Community Radio. And that's it. Stay tuned for Bird Note in Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long here on 88.5 KRFY.
This is Bird Note.